This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
First and 10, the Cuse at their own 38. Decent field position to start this drive from McCord. He wants to throw it on first down. Middle screen, it's intercepted on a tip. The Panthers have it. Running down the right sideline. Brian Lovelace, he's at the 10, the 5, and into the end zone. A trifecta of pick sixes for the Pitt Panthers in this game.
All three linebackers, too.
The Sharks, as they're calling them. And you saw a fan in the Panther pit wearing a big old shark costume. We're getting close to Halloween, and the dude's gone viral. Or the lady, I don't know. They're wearing a shark costume. Can't see what's underneath. Hell of a performance by the Pitt Panthers last night. 41-13, victorious over Syracuse. I think Pony's probably sad today. Syracuse came in 5-1 with Kyle McCord. I know intern Dom is sad, who's a big Syracuse guy who went on Donnie Football's show a couple of nights ago and predicted Kyle McCord would lead a triumphant Syracuse club to an upset. Pitt's sitting here at 7-0. Guys, they got a great chance. Seriously, a great chance to go to the ACC championship game. They've got Clemson coming to Acrisure Stadium. I think Pitt will probably be an underdog in that game. Well, Clemson's only loss this year was to Georgia, but Pitt has beat Clemson before. They did it the last time they won an ACC championship in 2021 with Kenny Pickett. They beat an eventual national champion, I believe, in Deshaun Watson in Clemson. Doran Dickerson gave the pregame speech to Pitt on the road. So it's not like Pitt is a stranger to beating Clemson. And I think Miami's probably going to stub their toe at some point. I don't think it's going to be this week against Florida State, because Florida State, my God, they suck. But I think they could stub their toe at some point. Actually, think about this. Miami plays Florida State this week, and that's one of the best rivalries in college football. And you say, throw the records out. Nah, I think Miami's going to beat them. But Miami gets up for the game. Miami's going to be emotionally invested. Guess who they play right after? The Duke Blue Devils. Is Duke good? I don't know. They got one loss, but their head coach is Manny Diaz, who was fired unceremoniously by the University of Miami in an embarrassing fashion. They basically had the guy blowing in the breeze, waiting for their current head coach to come over from Oregon. They fired his ass while he was recruiting in a home of a potential Miami Hurricane. So maybe they'll stub their toe there. I'm not so convinced in Miami to think that they're not going to suffer a loss at some point. I think Pitt could beat Clemson. I think Pitt has a great chance to be in that conference championship game, meaning they're one win away at that point from being in the college football playoff. Chris Carter joins us now from the Post-Gazette. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. I was worried Chris would be sleeping in after a long night at the stadium. Chris, how you doing today? Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me, fellas. I really would like to be sleeping in, but we got lots of shows to do this morning, so we're happy to start kick it off with the Fan and the wonderful morning show with you guys.
Well, thank you so much for coming on with us, Chris, and you were there last night. A day that Kyle McCord will remember forever, no? I mean, it was the seventh consecutive game with 300 passing yards. It's a Syracuse record. I'm guessing that's all he'll be thinking about today, huh?
Totally, yeah. Also, he has now the second most passes in a college passing game in Acrisure Stadium / Heinz Field history. The only game is actually the second game that was ever played there when Markell Blackwell of South Florida threw one more pass than him. Of course, don't forget the 5 interceptions and 3 pick sixes that he threw.
I don't know that I've seen a first half performance that bad from a quarterback ever, but you don't want to take anything away from Pitt. Brandon George with one of the interceptions of the year, if not the interception of the year, laying on his back. When you take a screen pass back for a touchdown and you look like a running back in the process, you can't take anything away from the Pitt defense. And Chris, if I'm a Pitt fan, I'm super encouraged because I think that makes back-to-back games where your high-powered offense hasn't looked all that good, and yet you've won both of them, and the defense looks to be getting a lot better, as we kind of thought it would, because that's Narduzzi's specialty.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Good teams win the way that they're designed to win because that's their strength. Great teams find ways to win even when those primary ways are shut down. And that's what Pitt's done so far. Because for five straight games, Eli Holstein threw three touchdowns, looked amazing. Desmond Reed went off. And these last two games, those two things didn't happen, but Pitt's defense came in. I was particularly impressed, Adam. One of the biggest criticisms that people always lay up Pat Narduzzi is, he always plays the same defense. There's never any adjustments. And after the game, we talked to Kyle Lewis, one of the linebackers that had the pick sixes. We actually talked to all the pick six linebackers, him, Braylon Lovelace, Rasheem Biles. They talked about how going into this game, they studied what Kyle McCord did. And they said, hey, you know, he thought we'd be dropping back, you know, playing soft coverage, letting the thing to go underneath. We decided, hey, he likes to run those quick outs. He likes to hit those quick passes over the middle. We're going to jump those. We're going to play those. And you saw that on the first interception, Rasheem Biles. The receiver doesn't even run that hard of an out because I don't think that they were expecting Pitt linebackers to drop back in coverage as much and play those passes. Same thing with the Kyle Lewis interception. He kind of just played underneath. I don't think McCord thought that they'd be there. And they were mixing it up. Some drives they were dropping back, some drives they were blitzing all out. And Kyle McCord was having to make tough decisions and was making bad ones. And then even on the screen pass, Braylon Lovelace, he says in the game, hey, they had hit us with that twice. We said they're not hitting us with it again. Nakai Johnson, the defensive tackle, was on it. He tips it. Lovely catches it, and he turns offensive. This was a very impressive performance because also I think the linebackers got to eat because the corners and safeties, they weren't allowing big plays downfield. They kept getting tested. They kept knocking it away. That's true team defense. And Pat Narduzzi, I know that he likes to say, we're 1-0. He wants to stay focused. He doesn't want to give too high a praise. He has to be extremely proud of this defense with how young it is. Lovelace, Biles, Lewis, they're either redshirt sophomores or true sophomores. And to see them playing this well is just astounding.
Those guys being young, Eli Holstein being a redshirt freshman is kind of the reason why I asked this question earlier on in the show, Chris. And the question is this. Is it all kind of gravy from here for Pitt? Because I expect them to keep winning football games, but they won three games last year. Could this, if they don't go to the ACC championship, could this really be the year before the year?
It could be. I think that Pitt is trying their best to not even think in that way. Pat Narduzzi prides himself on saying, we want to know every week. Because here's the other thing, Adam. As good as they are right now, we're saying that they have, how good could they be next year? You never know. Famous Pitt quarterback, his first year, Dan Marino, his first year in the NFL, made the Super Bowl. Everyone thought, he'll be back. Never got a chance to go back. You don't know if you'll ever be 7-0 again, in the history of your program, let alone next year or any other time under Pat Narduzzi. If I'm Pitt, I'm not even thinking about, next year, Eli Holstein will be back and it'll be even better. You got to strike now. The iron is hot. If SMU wins against Duke this weekend, you will have a ranked Pitt team facing a ranked ACC team on the road. They haven't beaten a ranked team as a ranked team since the ACC championship when they beat Wake Forest that year. So back in 2021. So they have to stay focused. If they do that, they put themselves in a conversation. There is a real path, Adam, to the college football playoff, which, as much as I was thinking at the beginning of the year, that would be really cool if they could do that, I did not think they'd be here at this stage. I thought it would take until the later part of the season. This is a remarkable opportunity. They need to stay focused so they can get that ACC championship game.
Shoot, man, I talked to Pitt people, big-time Pitt people, before the season, and I said, would you sign in blood for 6-6 in a win over West Virginia? And they said yes. And here they are sitting at 7-0. Okay, so Eli Holstein has obviously had a tremendous season. There's no doubt about that. The last eight quarters or so, not as good. And frankly, all season long, while he's made tremendous plays, I think he's had some pretty good interception luck. What's the concern level with him? Narduzzi said he should be healthy, by the way.
Yeah, I think Pat Narduzzi, you know, was being truthful when he said that, too, because I've definitely been days when he's not been 100% truthful about who's injured. But at the same time, Eli Holstein, now I said this going into the bye and even, especially after that Cal game, I think Eli Holstein, he's hitting a bit of a rookie wall at the moment just with the way that he's playing. But Kenny Bell's offense, there are guys open. Even on the interception, got called back for roughing the passer. If you step back and you look, I think it was Desmond Reed. He was waving his hand on the sideline, was just walking down the sideline wide open.
Yeah.
I think the game is speeding up for him, and he's trying to make plays instead of playing the play that's there. And that's where Pitt's going to have to help him slow things down, especially against SMU next week. Even if they don't win, they're a really good football team, and that is not going to be easy for Eli Holstein to just settle down in. But he has to do it. And I will say this, Adam. We've seen him settle down in games, because I saw that problem happen against Cincinnati. He flipped it around, played amazing in the second half. I saw that happen against West Virginia. He flipped around in the last 5 minutes, played amazing to lead two touchdown drives at the end of that game. I think it could be a matter of, hey, he needs to flip the switch. He needs to see something and can get it going, because he certainly has the arm talent, the athleticism, and the gusto to step up and make plays in the big moments. But sometimes, you're not seeing it right. And it's funny, Adam, you look at the stat line, you think, oh, 11 of 15,
right.
Two touchdowns, door to touch. Oh, that's amazing. But you watched the game, I watched the game. He did not play a good football game despite the two touchdown passes, which were good throws. He needs to see the field better. I think that's what Cade Bell is going to keep working with Adam Witt. Cade Bell, I think, has been a tremendous offensive coordinator. I think he'll get it eventually, but the question is when, because, Pitt's defense has played phenomenal for two straight games, and Syracuse was one of the best offenses in the conference going into this week. How much longer can they keep that up, though? The offense needs to balance it out. Imagine if they can get a game where Eli Holstein in the offense is playing how they played the first five games, while the defense plays the way it has the last two games. That could be the performance, if it's in a big stage game like SMU or Clemson, that could be the performance that makes all the national voters be like, okay, wait a second, all right, maybe we should look harder at this Pitt team.
No doubt about it. Chris, really good stuff as always, buddy. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Take it easy. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. I want to react to a little bit of what he said there coming up next at 412-928-9370. Pitt fans, are you worried at all about Eli Holstein? As Chris said, hitting a little bit of a quote-unquote rookie wall. And also, do you think Pitt is getting enough national attention? 412-928-9370. Give you my thoughts on that coming up. At the bottom of the hour, we're going behind enemy lines. A little bit of a preview. Steelers-New York Giants with Patrick Leonard of the New York Daily News. Going behind enemy lines coming up in the next segment. A little look ahead to Steelers-Giants Monday Night Football. Haven't spent a lot of time on it this morning because, well, there's no game on Sunday. Usually that's what Fridays are for, previews. Today there's been a lot of Pitt talk. They're 7-0. They've got a chance to win the ACC championship. That's the story. Another story, Cooper Kupp last night, 5 catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown. He's back. He's healthy, but Sean McVay after the game basically says he's not getting traded, and all those rumors were unfounded. So I say Omar Khan needs to go get another wide receiver. And if he doesn't, yeah, some blooms off that rose. Yeah, the honeymoon phase is over. Yeah, I'm tired of the Khan man hashtag and the Omar's coming. Doesn't mean he hasn't done a great job. He has. But they've got a hole. The hole needs to be filled. Here's a text. You know how it goes. 5 days after laying down 37, a 5-2 record and improvement on a weekly basis, still has Steelers fans overcritical and upset instead of looking at the positive things about this team and the countless moves that Omar Khan has made the last 2 years. Mind-boggling. Well, a couple of things. Them being 5-2 and scoring 30-plus points in each of the last two games has me even more gung-ho to make a move if I'm Omar Khan. They've got a good football team. It's not a great football team. The Bills improved, got Amari Cooper. The Chiefs improved, they got DeAndre Hopkins. The Jets stink, but they improved. They got Devontae Adams. Go out and get a guy. Mike Tomlin said good's not good enough. They want to be great. They want to be, quote-unquote, that team. Omar Khan has been linked to every wide receiver on the market. Tomlin said 4-2 isn't good enough. Let's go with Russ to win a playoff game. So the Steelers see it my way. Now go get it done. 412-928-9370. Wanted to react to some of the things that Chris Carter, who covers Pitt, had to say in the last segment. He said he thinks Holstein's hitting a little bit of a quote-unquote rookie wall. I would agree with that. The stat line, not bad for Holstein last night, but probably should have thrown a pick on the first drive. It got dropped. Threw an interception that got waved off due to a horrendous roughing the passer call. He's put the ball in harm's way a lot this year, but the spectacular has overshadowed those kinds of things. He is a tremendous football player. He's having a hell of a year. But if I were a Pitt fan, I would be a little bit concerned about his performance the last couple of weeks. I also think he'll bounce back. I don't think he lacks in confidence. I think Cade Bell has schemed guys open, and Holstein's missed a couple of them the last few weeks. That's going to happen to a redshirt freshman. They'll look at the tape. They're going to have to put up points against SMU. Chris also said they're not getting a ton of national attention. If you beat SMU, you will. I think there's a good chance College Game Day is going to be there. The biggest game on the schedule next week is Penn State, Ohio State at Happy Valley. It is a big noon kickoff. It's happened before where College Game Day and the Fox pregame show have been at the same location. I don't know if they're going to do that. It's happened before. I think there's a decent chance it's SMU and Pitt. Pitt's 19th in the country. They blew the heck out of Syracuse last night. They would move up in the rankings. But they're not going to get massive national attention until they knock off a ranked team. And I think that's fair. Like, Pitt fans should just be happy right now with where they are. 7-0, have a chance to win the conference. They'll get national attention. They go in there and beat SMU. Yeah. They might be flirting with the top 10. You beat Clemson? Probably will be top 10. They have not played a tough schedule to this point. Cincinnati, they got a winning record. So Pitt beat a team with a winning record. They beat Syracuse last night, team with a winning record. Nobody nationally takes either of those programs seriously. West Virginia stinks. They're 3-4. It's a big win. They're all big wins. I'm not dismissing that. But if Pitt beats SMU, they'll get all the national attention you crave. There's no doubt about that. And if they beat SMU, I'm telling you right now, they're going to the ACC championship game. Massive one ahead for Pitt in Dallas. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It is 8:29. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. See what they can do for you. More Pitt talk on the way in the 9 o'clock hour. But coming up next, we preview the Giants with Patrick Leonard of the New York Daily News. Is there a receiver on the Giants that may be available via trade? We'll ask him that question first. All right. We've been talking a lot of Pitt this morning after their victory over Syracuse last night, but Steelers got a big win coming up on Monday night to try to get to 6-2. They'll be taking on the New York Giants. And joining us now behind enemy lines is Patrick Leonard from the New York Daily News. Behind enemy lines brought to you by Monster Brewing. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
You got it, Adam. Thanks for having me.
So before we get into the game, Steelers fans want a wide receiver. Hell, I want them to add another wide receiver. Is Darius Slayton available?
Yeah, I would think he would be. The Giants definitely would be sellers and not buyers at the trade deadline. I think, you know, you're right to ask about a player like him who is not going to break the bank on a trade and to return the assets that the Giants would need back, right? Like some of these top-of-end, top-market guys are going to be commanding, you know, third-round picks, higher picks like that. You know, I don't think you need to spend that for a Darius Slayton. And certainly the Giants, especially with this game and then the Commanders coming up after it, by the time they get to the trade deadline, I think Slayton's definitely a name that Steelers fans should keep their eye on.
What would he offer for the Steelers? What is he good at? Where does he have his shortcomings?
He's a good deep threat, and he's a good route runner in general. So his strength would be to help take the top off the defense on the outside, but he can run routes underneath. He has had issues in his career at times with drops, but more than anything, he's consistent. So he's led the Giants in receiving yards in four of their last 5 years. He's kind of the guy who, whether things are going well or not going as planned, he's still getting, you know, his five catches for 60 yards or whatever it is. But he does have that big play ability. The Giants just have not been able to really get the ball down the field.
As for the game, I saw Dexter Lawrence pop up on the injury report. Is that something to keep an eye on, or is he just getting a Veterans Day off?
He expect him to play. Last week he was not practicing and seemed like, you know, there was a question. He was actually questionable for the game, and he played the entire game. I would expect him to play. I actually do think, though, that Brian Burns might be a question mark for this one. Now, this is based not on somebody telling me today or yesterday he's not going to play, but it's more about he has limped off the field the last two games he's played with a groin injury that he's been managing. And he was limited in practice on Thursday, the first practice of the week. But then they added an Achilles injury to his injury status as well. Definitely is a guy who's struggling. And even though they can't afford to lose a game or not have him in this game at 2-5, if he can take a week and then be ready for the Commanders game at home, because they're already 0-3 in the division, there might be a path, you know, towards like kind of giving him rest with that strategy in mind.
Patrick Leonard with us here on the Fan Morning Show, Behind Enemy Lines, brought to you by Monster Brewing. Explain something to me, Patrick, because I'm having a hard time with this. So Dexter Lawrence in the middle of the defense, he's got 9 sacks, he's 340 pounds listed. The guy is an absolute load. And yet, the Giants haven't been able to stop the run. And then I see the pass rush. It's one of the best in the NFL, yet the Giants giving up a bunch of deep balls. So what's going on here?
Yeah, so, well, they can't stop the run, first of all. They're tied for second worst in the league in yards per carry against at 5.2. And then the pass rush was supposed to be the strength of the defense with Burns, Lawrence, and Thibodeau. Kayvon Thibodeau is out, had wrist surgery. He's going to miss at least two more games on injured reserve. Lawrence is dominant. He commands double teams everywhere he goes. The Steelers are going to double him as well. You kind of have to. But across their defense, they have a lot of youth. They have a couple rookies starting, and they have a second-year player in Deontay Banks on the outside who really kind of like same thing that happened last year with the Giants where the defense shows some good play. The offense doesn't back them up, doesn't score enough points. They start losing games. And then guys start slumping their shoulders and the big plays start coming. And last week, Deontay Banks, their first round pick from 2 years ago out of Maryland, quit on a play where Jalen Hurts was running towards the sideline for the Eagles. And Banks just completely held up. And this is actually not the first time this has happened this season. He actually did it on a CeeDee Lamb touchdown as well in Thursday Night Football in week 4. So Brian Daboll not really holding the player accountable publicly. He's left that to his players and to his assistant coaches. Kind of a curious decision. We'll see if he gets benched. Problem is they have a lot of corners who are injured and out from this game as well. So there's kind of nowhere for them to turn. They're frustrated, though, on defense. They're not saying it. They're not trashing the offense publicly, but they're frustrated. This is where things went last year, and this is where things went off the rails because Daboll's offense is his baby. He's not a full-time play caller, and the defense is the only thing keeping it together.
Patrick Leonard with us, going Behind Enemy Lines, brought to you by Monster Brewing, obviously taking a look here at the New York Giants. The other team reported to be in the sweepstakes for Russell Wilson last year was the Giants, and I ask you, Patrick, what were the intentions with our Russell Wilson?
Well, they were interested in possibly signing him. The problem was, in 2023, they had signed Daniel Jones to this 4-year, $160 million contract. So bringing Russell in was bringing him in to compete, be a backup, and then possibly replace Jones if things didn't go well. Russell Wilson was looking for a place to play. And so the Giants wouldn't guarantee him that. And so he goes and gets more assurances that he's looking for in Pittsburgh, and as you see, once he gets healthy, despite the winning record, he's back in the lineup and off they go. Brian Daboll with an interesting I don't know who this was directed at, whether it was Daniel Jones, whether it was the front office, whoever, but he was asked about Russell Wilson yesterday, and he pointed out a couple times that Wilson is good at making explosive plays, and that seemed to be a shot at the fact that Daboll feels like his quarterback and his operation does not do that enough. And of course, like I said, you know, skirting accountability, just like with the player quitting on the field, kind of pointing the finger elsewhere at, like, maybe if I had a guy like Russell Wilson, you know, I'd be able to do that. But, you know, it's a very interesting scenario because the Giants are now where the Broncos were with Russ last year, where the injury guarantee, $37 million in Russell Wilson's contract in Denver, led to them benching him to avoid him getting hurt. They cut him, and now he finds a landing spot in Pittsburgh. That's where this Daniel Jones situation appears to be headed. He has a $23 million injury guarantee. They benched him in the fourth quarter last week in that blowout in Philadelphia. He is starting this game, but going up against a Steelers defense that, frankly, I think the Giants are in deep, deep trouble. Facing them for four quarters with their offensive line without Andrew Thomas, their franchise left tackle. It's headed in the direction of Jones eventually going the same route that Wilson did in Denver.
Patrick, this was really great stuff, man. We do appreciate you coming on, and we'll see you at the game on Sunday, or Monday, I guess it is. Yeah, Monday.
No, you got it, Adam. Looking forward to it. I do the Talking Ball with Pat Leonard podcast on the Believe Network as well, and having a little meetup at CityWorks on Sunday night, watch Sunday Night Football if any Giants or Steelers fans want to come out.
So, oh, there you go. That sounds awesome. All right, well, maybe we'll see you there, Patrick. Thank you again for coming on.
You got it.
Patrick Leonard, New York Daily News. Great stuff there from him. Things not good with the quarterback there in New York. I think Russell Wilson would clearly be playing right now if he had signed there instead of Pittsburgh. I think he made the right choice, though, Russell Wilson. Think he made the right choice. But the noteworthy thing there, apart from the game analysis, and they're a banged up bunch, is the wide receiver. I mean, if you could get Darius Slayton in here, the description there from Patrick Leonard was, A, wouldn't cost a lot, Omar. B, top off the defense guy, but that's not all he is. He's a good route runner too. That's exactly what they're missing, a well-rounded wide receiver who's a legit number two. I've said for a while, you need a number one because I'm not convinced Pickens is a number one. Well, he sure looked like one last week. So go get a number two. Not any number ones available anyhow. All those guys are gone. They're doing bargain basement stuff right now. And this guy, to me, better than Mike Williams. Mike Williams has been an injury concern. This guy's not. He would be my number one target right now. Seems like Cooper Kupp's off the market. The Rams right there in the thick of the NFC West. Just a game back. They play Seattle next week. They're finally healthy. They beat one of the best teams in the NFL last night. He ain't getting traded. So now I'm thinking about Darius Slayton. Wouldn't cost a lot. Good deep ball guy. Great route runner. Has been consistent despite the quarterback struggles. Go get that guy. All right, we go around the NFL coming up next. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll, something we're going to get to in the 9 o'clock hour. Is the season already a success for Pitt football? The Twitter poll is brought to you by P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. All right, now it's time to go around the NFL, and that's brought to us by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. Couple of key matchups to look forward to this weekend. Steelers not playing until Monday night, which means you get to watch Red Zone, or you get to put your feet up, eat some ribs, eat some wings, maybe a dangerous sandwich. From Primanti's, which is something I'm going to do this weekend. Watch a little ball. You know, go to Pet Fest for a little bit. Then after that, go watch some football. Perfect time. And we had somebody just text in. It's a good text. That Leonard guy, our last guest, Patrick, from the New York Daily News, he said he made Darius Slayton sound exactly like Deontay Johnson, sharp route runner, top off the defense, five catches for 60 yards with some drops. So imagine getting a Deontay Johnson clone back for like a fifth-round pick. Sounds like a good deal to me. Me too. You're not going to be paying a hefty draft pick price for this guy. And let's call it what it is. He's significantly better than Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, Scotty Miller. Roman Wilson ain't going to play this year or help you at all. Go get Darius Slayton. He's going to be cheap. He's a good player. He's a legit number two. Pickens looking more like a number one with Russell Wilson. Get it done. All right, you got Eagles at the Bengals. this weekend. Cincinnati trying to get back to 500 on the season. I don't think either of these teams are great. I don't. Eagles stumbled down the stretch last year. And yes, last week they were really good against the Giants, and they ran the ball all over them. I think that's more of a Giants thing than an Eagles thing. The defense last year for Philadelphia, not great. They've had their issues on the back end again this year. I think the Eagles are a fine football team. They're nowhere near what they were at the beginning of last year or the year prior. Meanwhile, look at Cincinnati. They're kind of frauds too. I mean, they're 3-4. That win against Cleveland last week shouldn't inspire any confidence. Any. They return a kickoff for a touchdown. Other than that, they scored 14 points and had to kind of squeak one out against a Browns team that is horrendous. So I don't really think either of these teams are great. Cincinnati favored by 3 at home. I think I'd pick the Eagles. If Cincy wins, I don't think they are what I thought they were coming in. I picked them to win the division because I thought they were good and their strength of schedule a lot weaker than the Steelers or the Ravens. Man, I'm telling you, I'm not seeing it with them. They might make the playoffs. I don't think they're a contender in the AFC North. Ravens on the road at the Browns. Ravens favored by 8.5. Jameis Winston to start. I think that helps Cleveland, but Baltimore's going to roll in that game. Baltimore's going to absolutely kill them. That's a dysfunctional mess going on over there in Cleveland. They're better now than they were before Deshaun got hurt. Don't fool yourselves into thinking they're any good. We pass by the 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So we got Lee Sterling coming up at the top of the hour. He'll give us a look into the future, who's going to win and why this weekend. So we'll talk to Lee. Brian Batko at the bottom of the hour, and then sandwiched in between. We got to get back to this Pitt football team. 7-0, a path to the ACC championship, maybe College game day. Watching them next week take on SMU. A lot to get into with Pitt, and we'll do just that in the 9 o'clock hour. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 68.